Who are we in this story? So that is the question that we generally ask ourselves after we read a Bible story that has no clear moral message to it, no clear spiritual teaching to it. We say to ourselves, who are we in this story? And what I think is fascinating about this particular bit of Scripture is that it's not enough just to ask, who are we in this story? But we also have to ask ourselves, when are we that person in this story? Because the two main characters in today's story, Saul, who is actually, that's the Apostle Paul, that is his Jewish name, Saul, and Ananias, they both experience rather large, we'll call them spiritual happenings over the course of this little story. Obviously, Saul's transformation is a little more dramatic than the transformation that Ananias goes under. But he goes under one nonetheless. So who are we in this story? We ask that question in the hopes that by locating ourselves somewhere in the story, viewing it from a particular perspective, we can know something about ourselves, our relationship to other people, and our relationship to God. Are we, for example, are we pre-conversion Saul? Do we find ourselves in our day-to-day persecuting other people? Do we find ourselves discriminating against people of other religions, practitioners of who hold a minority belief? I don't think there's actually any of those people in our congregation, but if you turn on Fox News, you will quickly realize that there are lots of those people in the world around us. So maybe we don't have any pre-conversion Sauls with us today, but they are certainly out there. So that might not be where you fit into this story. But maybe, just maybe, you are a mid-conversion Saul. I think this is an affliction that happens to a lot of people in mainline denominations where you're kind of stumbling forward blindly towards a vaguely defined spiritual future. You're not really sure where you're going or why you're pursuing it, but there you are walking nonetheless. And this is a hard place to be in because the people who, if you remember from the story, were around Paul, they didn't receive the same vision as him. They thought he was talking crazily when he told them. They didn't see the same vision. They didn't hear the same words that he saw. So Paul was surrounded by people who did not understand what he was doing or why. They understood even less than Paul understood himself. I think maybe we've all been there from time to time, not exactly sure of our destination, but stumbling ahead nonetheless. Maybe in our midst today we have some mid-conversion Sauls in the room. But hopefully among us there are also some post-conversion Pauls, those of us who are filled with vim and vigor, those of us who have been, I don't know, newly converted, who are seeing the world anew, who are excited about the possibilities it holds for us. And because we're so excited, we surround ourselves with like-minded individuals who get us and want to support us and help us learn and grow as they learn and grow beside us. I pray to God that in this room today there are some post-conversion Sauls with us this morning. But maybe, just maybe, you're not really feeling this whole Saul character. Maybe he's not your taste. Maybe he's not feeling relatable to you where you are. Maybe you're more of a early stage Ananias. So Ananias is the disciple that God sent to Saul to heal him, restore his vision to him, convert him essentially to Christianity. But when Ananias was originally called by God, what did he say? He said, God, do you know who this Saul guy is? This is ridiculous. This is impossible. And more importantly, this is dangerous. Have you heard who this Saul guy is? Says Ananias to God. So I'm wondering if there's anyone in the congregation this morning who is feeling called by God to, in some seemingly impossible direction, some absurd direction. You're being called to some out-of-the-box ministry, called to help people in some unexpected way, either unexpected by you or unexpected by all of those around you. I know every time I go home and I talk about being a pastor of a church to my family, they're still surprised that I'm a pastor. And maybe that happens to some of you too. Maybe you are an early stage Ananias. But I think there in this room today, there might also be some late stage Ananiases. These are those people who have accepted God's call to go out into the world and do these out-of-the-box ministries. To do the thing that seems impossible. To do the things that others look down on. Or to do the thing that people don't expect that you are fit and called to do. And for those kind of people, you don't need a kind of a push over the cliff like Ananias, an early stage Ananias needs. If you're engaged in that kind of ministry, out on the streets doing the hard work, maybe what you need is a community of love and support and encouragement around you to help you sustain that work that you're doing. So you can be like that famous, you know, that burning bush that talked to Moses in the Old Testament, that burned without being consumed. So you can be on fire with the Holy Spirit out doing the work of ministry and not get burnt out by it. You need that community of love and support around you. Maybe you are a late stage Ananias. But generally in the course of a sermon is the job of the minister, is the job of the preacher to pick one of those perspectives and explicate it over the course of a sermon. It's my job to figure out which one is most useful to us as a congregation and kind of talk about that at length. And I'm obviously not doing that this morning for you, and I apologize for that, but I assure you it's with good reason. And that's because after we're done with worship today, we're going to go down these stairs and we're going to gather around tables, we're going to get some delicious food. Dorothy made some chocolate bars with cream cheese filling in the middle. We're going to sit, we're going to eat together, and we're going to talk about who we are as a church and where we're headed in the year to come. And the pretext of that conversation, the larger conversation in which those little conversations are happening, is that we are trying to figure out where we are in God's story. Where are we in God's story, and where is God calling us to be? Are we right where we should be? And do we need to just keep on doing what we're doing? Adding more fuel to the fire? Or is God calling us to be and do something different? Calling us to start new ministries, to reach new people? Where are we in God's story? So my prayer this morning is simply that as we leave this worship service and as we go downstairs, that the Holy Spirit might be with us, giving us clarity of vision and fullness of heart. That we may prayerfully and lovingly together discern who we are in God's story for us. Amen.